Blog Talk Radio.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't.
Incense here. Let's go live on here because we're not live on here yet.
No, we are having some technical difficulties. We won't be able to take any calls because we have no volume on our side. Even though you can hear us, we can't hear anything feedback from the radio.
Yeah. So unfortunately, those who are on listening right now, which are you're coming in or you're listening on a repeat or later. If you are coming in right now or you're in the background listening on your computer and I'm not able to see you, you can listen, but we can't take the phone call, so I do apologize. Marianne's on. Hey, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
We'll wait for a couple people to...
That incense just doesn't want to stay lit
for
you. It
doesn't. I think it's because the moisture in the air.
Okay, just leave it lit for a little while because mine will actually go out on its own.
Wow.
I don't have
no,
to...
No, this one will. I've tried to do that before.
Really?
There we go.
Get the ember going.
Hello.
I think it's cooking.
I think so too. It's going to be smoky in here in a little bit.
That's okay. I don't mind smoking. If you only saw our house when we burnt tape, I have to open all the windows and face the fans from in the house out the window just to get some of the smoke out.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm going to call have the fire department have to come to the apartment and freak everybody out. It's like, no, it's just sage. Leave me alone.
The bellows of smoke.
Yes.
Going out.
It's amazing what one little, I mean, it's a cluster of loose sage and it'll have maybe 8 to 10 leaves on it. But if those things get going, they just whoosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, I did not expect that when I was making blessing bottles. And then I always cleanse the space first. And I'm like, I'm looking around. The dogs are hightailing it away from the smoke. They're like, we don't like the smell and smoke. So they're running. I'm like, oops.
So where's the moon at?
The moon is actually in a waning crescent.
Okay.
It can otherwise be known as a balsamic moon. The first few days or the last few days before it becomes a new moon is called the balsamic moon.
Okay.
So it's at its thinnest point that you'll be able to see.
Okay.
It's, you want to reflect on things. You want to reflect with gratitude, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because whether it be a good or bad, which is no good or bad, there just is.
It is. Yeah.
You just accept it, acknowledge it, reflect, gratitude, and then you kind of rest, recharge your batteries, and then you restore yourself and reaffirm your intentions.
Yes.
So
we've got Lori Beth who's on. Marianne says,
Hi, Lori
I always
Beth.
Gotta work my sage to keep it going.
You do? No, the stuff I have, literally, I'll be like, oh my gosh, it doesn't. You know, it's not really smoky enough, so I'll light all the tips of all the pieces, and it's like, it just stays and stays and stays, and I'm like, okay, are you going to go out now? I have to actually cover the cauldron to get it to die down, because it's, it gets too powerful for me sometimes.
Yeah. So, all right, so we've got the, what is it again, waning crescent?
Waning crescent, a.k.a. balsamic moon.
Balsamic moon. So
which is the moon phase I was born under, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes, there's a website, and I can't remember it for the life of me. But there's always these things that pop up on your feet or whatever, and it's like, go do this or go do that. And some of them are actually legit, and you can go and actually go to astrological websites, and you can find out.
I'm interested in that star map, you know, the star map of your birth date. Have you seen those? I mean, of course.
Your birth chart.
Birth chart. But it's a star map. Like, you print it out, you can get it printed out, and you can hang it on your wall, and it's basically what the sky looked like the night or the day you were born.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. I knew about the birth charts, which are really cool, but I didn't know about the star chart.
Yeah, star maps, whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Really cool.
I see them all the time. So we're still in gratitude. We're getting prepared to write our new manifestations. So everybody out there, you know, grab a piece of paper tonight. Start writing down what you'd like to manifest for
Saturday.
Okay. So what you'd like to manifest for the next month, please make it reasonable. Otherwise, you're going to be disappointed.
Possibly disappointed.
So make it reasonable. Chart it out. What is possible to do within the next month, also towards the end of the year. So know that you're not manifesting just for the month. If it doesn't happen or doesn't come into play within that month, you still have time for it to manifest and grow. So today we are on the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got two weeks and a day left of November.
Mm-hmm.
And then December.
I can't believe we're halfway through November. And
I know.
It's December. And then, oh my God, it's 2018.
I know. We're already there. We're already getting there. So summer leaf is in sight, everyone. So know that.
I do have a little bit of exciting news in I was doing some research for my hedge witch.
Yes.
And just doing some astrological research and kind of goals for the next upcoming year.
Uh-huh.
There is going to be a blue moon in January, which a blue moon is technically two full moons in a month.
Okay.
A black moon would be two new moons in a month.
Okay.
So January, we have a full moon on the 2nd.
Okay.
And then we also have a full moon on the 31st. But what makes this 31st so special is it's a total lunar eclipse that we will be able to see in America. All across America, we'll be able to see it. So it's a very, all my feelers are going wild for it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. Because it's, again, a blue moon, which doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
There, you could go a year without seeing a blue moon, quote unquote.
Right.
but it's also a total lunar eclipse. That we can see here because, I mean, we have lunar eclipses and we have solar eclipses, a couple of each all year long.
Right.
Or over the year, I should say. But it's depending on where you live on what you see.
Right.
You know, we'll be able to see it here, like the total solar eclipse. We were able to see it here,
right.
Almost total.
Right.
South Carolina was total.
Right.
But you wouldn't been able to see it in, say,
New York,
Russia, or, you know, there were certain things that it was like you couldn't see bits and pieces of it. You know, it hones it down to
right.
that spectrum of what it's going to hit. So it's a very special thing to be able to see it on a blue moon here.
So what is the energy and vibration of a blue moon? Is that different than a full moon, normal full moon, or?
For me, I feel like it's like a second, it's almost like, not a second chance,
uh-huh.
but it's like a, an empowerment. I guess a second chance is the way to put it. Because if you think about it, full moons have the gratitude aspect, which is what they're mainly known for.
Right.
But they also do a lot of with empowering and focusing and cleansing. So if you want something, I just feel like it's extra powerful because you had one full moon already. This one is just like that special added bonus. You know, I mean, it's almost like that free gift or whatever that you get with
things. Right.
It's that oomph. It's that spark. It's that.
So get your crystals out. Put your crystals out. Get your water out.
Oh my gosh, you'll be able to make total lunar eclipse water with that. You know, I mean, it's going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I can't wait for it.
And Lori Beth got her box today?
No, I went to Hampstead. I went to the opposite end because I had to go get my medicine.
We have your box, Lori Beth.
Yes.
I promise.
Yes. I will get you your box, honey. Leia had to run out of here for her class yesterday and
left it. So
yeah,
but it's ready to go. It's ready for you.
Yes. So we will get it to you.
Okay. So we were looking around and we hardly ever. Well, I might say hardly ever. Okay, I'm the one that has to have things structured. I like to know what we're talking about the night of, at least,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I can prepare. And Monica likes to freestyle thing.
I do.
And so, you know, I get a little apprehensive and nervous, and I'm like, what are we going to talk about?
I did plan on being here by 8 o'clock, but segue, sidetrack, things didn't happen the way I wanted. So we just talk it out. I mean,
yeah,
it's enlighten and empower. You kind of,
yeah.
I feel like this show is just meant to share our day-to-day battles, like last week when we talked about ego.
Right.
We were having some issues with ego. I know I was.
Right.
And it was a way of telling people and explaining to people how we overcome it. Because then in that way, it might help them to learn and master their potential.
Right.
Which is what we're here for.
Exactly. Exactly. So we decided right before, like literally 10 minutes ago,
uh-huh.
maybe 15 minutes ago, that we were going to talk about the circle of friends
mm-hmm.
and how circles change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if we take segments of our lives, you know, we can look at, okay, our childhood friends may not necessarily be, you know, our friends when we're teenagers. And when
right.
we're teenagers, we gain new friends. And then, you know, we go into, you know, adulthood. And so I am lucky enough to have two bestest, amazing friends who I consider my sisters
yes.
since middle school. So we have Grace and we have Karen, and I love them dearly. I love them, you know, like sisters, even though, you know, with me being 3,000 miles away, I don't talk to them as much, but because we're family,
right. It doesn't change.
It doesn't change, you know.
Right.
If I were to step into town, I would be loved and appreciated just as much, you know, if I were living there. And
right.
granted, we'd get to spend more time together, but overall, you know, we still have that bond that hasn't broken. And some people actually have friends from when they're children. And
yes,
I have a friend, although we're not as close as we were at one time, since kindergarten.
Wow.
So we went to elementary school together. She went to a different middle school. And then we came back together in high school. And then now we're Facebook friends and, you know, we chat back and forth and, you know, we have that. But what I'm talking about is these, like, for example, when you take on a spiritual life,
yes,
that circle of friends that you change. It does change, and it changes drastically because you're no longer interested. Let's talk about the early 20s. You're no longer interested in drinking or partying or going out, but
right.
you're more interested in going to yoga or meditation and what have you.
Right.
So then you gain that family.
Right.
You gain that friendship. And this is just a natural thing. You know, the more that you get interested, the more interested that you are in other things, the people who are interested in those, you know,
right.
you tend to mingle.
You
meet, right. You meet people at the store that you shop at. You meet people at the meditation that you go to, and they then lead you into other things, or you lead them into other things.
Yeah.
So, the thing that I can tell you and the advice that I can give you is that if you have people that are drifting away from you, don't hold on to them.
Right. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be, you guys will stay connected, even if you don't talk about it as often as you would like or
right.
as often as you used to when you were kind of intermingling on the same like per se.
Right.
You'll still have that connection. You'll still find your way back to each other. You know, I mean, there's been several friends. I moved around a lot when I was young.
Uh-huh.
I don't have any real like friends that I knew back in kindergarten, whatever. Again, I was 4'11" in kindergarten. Nobody wanted to really be my friend. It was crazy. But I had a couple people that I was friends really close with, and I've lost touch and never found them again. We moved 12 hours away, you know, just lost connection. I did have some friends in high school that I had reconnected with. And then we've lost connection, but I have thought about her. We are actually born a year and 2 days apart. So I've thought about her a lot. And then there's people that you meet. And if you're like me, then you meet people that you really like that are quite a few years older than you, possibly.
Yes.
All my friends are in the next decade, I want to say. But then the 5-10 years older than me, and those are my people. I love them to pieces.
Yeah.
So.
There's another part to this actually too, and it's something that I talk about when I'm teaching the classes. Well, no. With friendship, with a spiritual life, what happens has a tendency to happen, is that the more educated you get, the more steps you take. Towards enlightenment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
People come from your past. They come out from your past because it's almost like you have a light on.
Right.
And a lot of times they come back from nowhere because they're seeking healing and they don't realize that. So as a light worker, once that DNA is struck in you, you know, every once in a while, people from your past kind of pop up here and there. And it's usually only a brief encounter. And it's kind of like, oh, I was thinking about you and blah, 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 blah. And you guys have that talk or you have that chat back and forth or you guys meet for dinner and you talk. And it isn't necessarily like a lay down healing. Let me heal you. Or they even
right.
know it. But they need to be around you because of
the
enlightenment that you need, that you have. And the energy that's around you because they are seeking something from you.
Right.
So be aware of that, especially with the single ladies out there who have exes that come back into play.
I've had that before, not recently, but I've had that before.
Right. They show up and like, hey, I'm here. Yeah, they're not really here for what they think they are. You know, it's more of that learning experience.
Yeah.
Marianne says, I've had a hard time finding friends who aren't just interested in partying and et cetera. I have always had a hard time finding someone I click with and fit in with.
It is hard.
I mean,
for one thing, you have, especially when you're in a spiritual side of things, you have some people that you used to connect with that are maybe more religious and can be somewhat closed-minded.
Right.
You have the people that party and don't understand the spiritual side and then are kind of upset because you don't party with them still. They kind of feel like slanted or, you know, kind of like, well, no. Is she too good for us to sit
yeah.
in there and have a drink with us? And it's like, no, it's just not my thing anymore.
Right.
So they don't understand that growth aspect or just that not needing it. You know, they're just, a lot of closed-minded, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Anytime you hit that resistance from people, it's closed-minded. And sometimes you can educate, and it can be better, but sometimes you can't. And you just have to kind of accept and move on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, even for romantic relationships, unless you're already involved with somebody who understands you, I've chosen to be single. Well, mainly because I have a child who, you know, I need to take care of.
Right.
But also, my life is so busy on the spiritual aspect, on the work aspect, on the, you know, what we're doing aspect, that I don't have the resources, the time, or the energy to pay attention to somebody else.
Right.
And it's not something that I desire either. So what I do is I go, okay, you know, what's most important to me? What do I need to take care of? I mean, how I, you know, like to fly to California every year to be with my guru. I like to drive up. I like my space, and I don't miss it. So sometimes even a friend situation, you know, it's if you're within people that understand you, you know, instead of just magically changing, because some people just magically change and then they go, well, this was not the spouse I signed up for, you know.
Yeah, there are some people that I like to call them chameleons. They change at the drop of the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have, it is hard to find somebody who is accepting of this spiritual side as opposed to a religious side, because there is,
right.
I mean, it really all depends on how you grew up and what have you.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm wearing Tinkerbell, Believe.
Nice.
She says, I just noticed your shirt. I love Tink. Yes. Tink is our friend.
Yeah.
The fairies that are out there. Marianne also says, yes, I can't drink, allergic to alcohol.
Oh,
so
wow.
Then my religious friends aren't open to my energy work and such.
Yeah, that sucks. Sorry, there's no other way to put it. It really does suck. But in that same respect, it's also neither good nor bad. It just is. And it's just letting you know that these aren't the people for you, and that you need to find and expand and open your, you know, yourself up to new people and see what happens.
Right. So we ended up with our own gym members becoming our friends. Our old friends drank too much and we were on the health path. You grow with like-minded people. You do.
This is very true.
Yes. It's funny because when I was growing up, all my friends were older women. They were older ladies. And I'd go sit and talk with them, or, you know, I'd watch TV or I'd help them, whatever. But they were always my friends. And mom never figured this out. You know, she's like, why are you hanging out with all the old ladies? You know, but I think it's just because it's not that I relate to them, but I could on a vibrational level that I could, you know, relate to the care and the love and everything. And I never found them boring.
Right.
You know, they never found me boring. And even if we were just sitting there, you know, me with my hot chocolate and her coffee, and we would just chat, you
right.
know, I always had, that connection. And very, very few times did I ever have my own age. Even in high school, actually, all my friends were either older than me or younger than me.
High school, my freshman year of high school, and more middle school, actually, I had a couple, literally, like two or three girls that I hung out with. And that was it. High school, I had some girls that I hung out with. And it changed, you know, it went in waves and phases, but I just really love theater and anything. When I found tech theater, I tried drama, but when I had to faint on stage, that sealed the deal for me. I wasn't doing it no more. So I did the tech theater in the back, and I did that for 5 semesters. Loved it. It was my niche. It was my thing. I already had the whole black wardrobe going on, so I did that all shebang. And then I started volunteering at Stallion Hall, and that was amazing. So it really, that's where I found my niche. And it was like, I haven't been there so long. But yeah.
Time to go back. Marianne also says, most of my closest friends are always people on the other side. Well, they're good friends to have.
Yeah.
You know, our guys.
I want more friends from the other side.
Yeah. Our guide, definitely friends that we need to keep close, because, you know, they're always supplying us with information.
Yes.
You know, and about the guides, it's really about just paying attention and going with that first gut instinct. Because if you don't and you try to, you know, fool around with it, then that's where...
Don't second guess yourself.
Yeah, it is what it is. It is what it is. It always is.
Yeah.
What else do we got? I mean, we could talk about soul family.
I mean, it basically is. You're choosing... Like, we all have family that we can't really have any choice in choosing. But our soul families are who we choose in our family.
Right. Our family isn't always blood.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, blood isn't the thickest thing out there, you know. I mean, I am blessed to have some very beautiful, wonderful family members. But I am also blessed to have an amazing soul family as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, just the memories and the connections and, you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, I don't get to see my family. I mean, they're all in Maryland, and there's very few people that have really ever traveled down here to see us. In fact, I can probably count them on one hand.
Yeah.
And that's only a couple fingers. And I was very fortunate. I'm not judging. I understand. It's a long drive. We made those drives every year for the longest time. So I get it. Completely understand. We have been very blessed and fortunate that we do have those couple that have come to visit us. But we still have that connection. I still love them to pieces, but my family down here are those families that you see every day and you get to be with every day or a couple times a week or whatever.
Right.
They just call and say, hey, you want to go walk the dogs or, you know, you want to go have lunch or go grab dinner or just spur of the moment things. Or even like when I left here at Goddess Talk.
Yeah.
I had a girlfriend that I used to work with call me up and video chat with me while I'm on my way home. And she's like, girl, I can't see you. I said, I'm driving. Of course, you can't see me. And it's just, you know, it puts a smile on your face. And it's these people that you can connect with and be open with, you know, and just feel completely comfortable. I mean, to where, in a sense, you are vulnerable. But they want to expose your vulnerability.
Right.
You know what I mean? They'll nurture you and those sorts of things. And it is something that you have to choose. You have to be, I mean, I'm not saying be skeptical of people, but you don't want to put your heart out there for, I used to do that and have my heart just, for me, it's like, you know, I do walk on the side of caution a little bit, but I am always open-minded to people's opinions and everything. And I see and we grow and then we become bonded and then I'll be there whenever they need me.
Absolutely. And you know, we have a tendency to use family as an excuse for many things, you know, and most importantly is that you don't have to like your family members.
No, you do not.
You do not. You can love without liking, you know, and you know, with everything that's coming up in the world today, you know, the stories that we hear of what parents are doing to their children or, you know, and the abuse that's going through, just because, you know, they gave life to you doesn't mean that you're responsible for being in their lives or what have you. And I mean, family drifts apart too. My mom, has one brother now and a sister, and they hardly speak. So she always said that, I mean, we're family, we're brothers and sisters, but we were never that close. We were never that, let me cry to you on the phone about what's going on. They kind of just separated and everybody went their own direction.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's very rare. I mean, in fact, I talk to my family in California more than my mom talks to anybody, period. And it's not because she's angry. She just doesn't have anything to, you know, to talk about.
Right.
So when we look at our family unit as a whole, a lot of times, well, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my cousin, you're supposed to be by my side, or I'm supposed to be by your side, or however, you know, whatever combination. That's not always true, because if we look at the before we jump into this body.
Mm-hmm.
So the information that I've gotten that I've been preaching for a very long time is that when we're on the other side and we decide, okay, what classes we're going to take, you know, going down, we decide, mm-hmm. you know, we say, okay, so I need to know what it's like to have an abusive parent, and you need to know what it's like to abuse a child. So I'm going to pick you as my mom. And then, you know, and I need to experience this, that, and the other thing. And I need to have a father who was never around. So you're going to be, you know, you're going to be that. And we kind of orchestrate this whole thing through this soul contract.
Right.
And I say, okay, well, these are the things that I need to learn. So I need to learn how to overcome that, or I need to know what it's like to have a baby when I'm young, or whatever, you know, whatever your soul contract is. And then everybody steps on that stage, they jump into a body, and it plays through. And, you know, Shakespeare said all the world's a stage, and we're just merely actors. And that's kind of true, because we're just fulfilling out this contract. Now, of course, not everything is written, because we get choices. And the choices are basically what we're going to believe. That's first of all, what we're going to believe. And second of all, what direction we go in. So if your contract said that you were supposed to have 10 kids, then you shall have 10 kids. But what you do with that information, how you raise your children, is then up to you. And then they start fulfilling their contracts. And then their children start fulfilling their contracts, and it keeps going and going and going and going. So we have all of these contracts that we look at, and every time some, you know, this stone gets thrown in the way of whatever plans that we're making, instead of getting frustrated and upset about it, we can say, okay, well, this is part of it. I get it. I understand. And let's, you know, either move around it, over it, through it, or what have you. And that's also another way to understand a lot of things. And we were watching, I think it was iGod, and somebody, and Catherine came.
That was a while ago.
That was a while ago. Okay. She brought up a very good point, and she says to me, well, you know, how can we justify, explain, and not get upset with all the men abusing little kids? Or, you know, the rape or the murder or the cancer,
right,
or all of these things, how can we feel better about them? And I said, well, you're not going to feel better on a human level ever.
Right.
Because that's just not good. But when you look at the soul contract behind it, our purpose here, the purpose of life, is to experience what it's like to be a human.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So we need every aspect. Obviously, this lifetime, I'm not a bank robber. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not, you know, I'm not all any of those things, because I've completed that. I know I've already learned that. So now I'm going on
to learn something new.
And so educating the masses, uplifting them, enlightening them, receiving enlightenment myself, moving forward, stepping up this ladder. So when we look at that basic of, okay, so I need to be a 13-year-old mother, which this was a case that actually happened not too long ago, a couple years ago. 13-year-old mom who has AIDS, her sister who was 8 years old had AIDS, and it was the uncle that was molesting and raping them, and she was pregnant with the uncle's child.
That's just sad.
It is. It's horrible. And it's something that every party had a part in.
Right.
And it's nobody's fault. I'm not saying fault. I'm not putting fault on anything, because, of course, it's never a child's fault that this is happening to them. But when we step back and we look at it and we go, okay, well, this gentleman needed to know and learn from this experience. These children needed to learn from this experience, and they needed to be sisters. They're just fulfilling a contract. When, you know, we have political parties that step onto the other side that die, whether they're executed or whether they die of natural causes or what have you, and they may be horrible people. You know, if we take mm-hmm. Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, and these things, there's no punishment on the other side.
Right.
It's, okay, you fulfilled your duty.
You fulfilled your contract.
You fulfilled your contract. Now,
here's your new one.
Here's your new one. You know, and what classes do you need to take? What do you need to learn? Did you learn from that experience? Do you want to build upon it? You know, so on and so forth. So we have all of this, these things that come in, and it actually gets quite interesting when you look into soul contracts and you learn about soul contracts. And, you know, you start to understand that, oh, okay, this is the bigger picture.
Right.
You know, it's not just, you know, what's going on around you.
Yeah, I don't know what my contracts are. I haven't even tried to think about what my contracts are.
You can go to the Akashic Records and find out. If you want to. Sometimes
I can try that.
Go up,
after
up,
I get all my homework done. Go
up all the way to 7th and ask to go to see the Akashic Records, and then you go back through the pink jelly-like substance, and it's a door that's kind of like on your right-hand side, and it's this big, like, library, old-style, 18th century
doors
that get open, and then you will see the masters, which, of course, hold the Akashic Records, and they may be frightening at first. They're, like, 10 feet tall. Almost dark and ominous looking, but they're not.
Right.
They'll lead you to the portion of the library where you will get a little desk and the book will flip open. And then you get to watch the little movie and you can ask questions and you can say, well, you know, what was my soul contract coming in? What have I already learned? Or what about a previous life is affecting this lifetime?
That's what I want. I need to do some past life journeying.
Yeah. So you can go into past life journeying and find out, you know, okay, you know, whether they be illnesses or whether they be fears or what have you. Then you can look back and you can at least know that, so that you can use that information when you come back to your everyday life and go, okay, I get it. I understand it now. So,
yeah.
Yes, there's a lot on past life regression as well as Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are the main source of information because, as you know, like I've explained, we have these guides, but you have one main guide. And your one main guide is there from birth to death, writing down every word, every thought, every sense that you've ever had.
He's the writer of
your story. And all of that information goes into the Akashic Records.
I've been wondering who my guide is. I don't know who he is or she.
No, you have many of them. I mean, I don't even know their names, my guide's names. I just know one shows up as Magneto every once in a while, and it's quite interesting. I don't know why. I think it's just a funny joke, because I get the glittery, silvery, cape-ish kind of thing off the side to my left here.
Mm-hmm.
He's very big. Very, very big, and I think that he does that to mess with me.
I think mine come to visit me in animal form. Like they possess animals and that's how they visit me. I kid you not, the other day, what was it? Saturday? No, Sunday. I was at home and I was doing something in the kitchen and I had gone into the living room and all of a sudden I just start hearing all these sounds and squawks and squawks and squawks. I kid you not, there's 100 ravens in the tree right across from my apartment.
Oh, wow.
They're staring at me. So I break out my camera and I'm going to get pictures of these ravens. And they're just staying right there.
You were witness to a murder.
Something. They had some sort of message. And then I get the monarch butterflies. I get the birds. I'll get lizards. Like alchemists and lizards, there's a connection there.
Uh-huh.
I'm still trying to figure out what that connection is. But there's a lizard that visits me every day. And then turtles. I have six turtles. Bathing, literally, they were all right next to each other.
Uh-huh.
One was a completely different shell, so he was a completely different species of turtle, and then five were the same. And it was the coolest thing to see them. And then, of course, once they sensed my dogs, they had to go start for cover. But I really do think that my guides visit me in animal form.
They can. It's whatever you're going to relate to and understand.
I think that's what it is.
Because
I'm an animal person.
I only ever... like really, I feel them, but this is a different type of feeling.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever even told you this story. When I was doing readings one time, I actually felt them move their energy from, which is right behind, you know, like if I'm staring, I could see my hands still. So in my peripheral, they stand right about there. Mm-hmm. So I can, to look at, of course, I'm not going to see anything, but I can catch the movement, the waviness, mm-hmm. and I can feel their presence. And only once did they ever move past that line and stand like right up here. I was doing a reading with a woman who says that there are spirits in the house, and they keep telling her that she's ugly, that she's stupid, that she's dumb, that she needs to go kill herself.
There was something. I think I remember something.
Yeah.
But they did a whole whoosh factor.
They did a whole whoosh factor, and then they didn't talk. And it was very, it was a very protective kind
emotion.
Of thing.
Right.
And it was like, because everything was fine and hunky-dory at first, and she's like, but, you know, the walls talk to me, and this talks to me, and that talks to me, and I don't know if, it didn't seem like there was mental illness, although it sounds like it, but I don't think it was there. I actually think she was hearing these things. And
she
then she says, one of them calls himself the general, and he's the one that says, I hate you, but I love you. And I mean, it was just a whole, this whole circle talk, this back that it was just really, really weird. And I just felt them, cause I was sitting at the table and I just felt this energy. It was almost pushing me forward, but not, I was kind of in a tunnel. And so it was like, whoosh, and they were right here and I could see that energy and they wouldn't talk. Then they were just like, you know, like, nope, we're not having this. Nope.
Right.
No way.
Get her out of here.
Needless to say, I didn't charge her for the reading because I couldn't get any information because they weren't, her guides were not talking to me and my guides were just, nope.
Right. Shut it down.
We're not talking to you at this moment because we need to stand guard.
Yeah.
Ouch. So, yes.
I mean, I know they're there. I mean, there's been times in my life where it's literally, in 2004, I was hit by a drunk driver. And it literally, all the lights, we were leaving theater, we had a production we were doing, I was taking a colleague home, and we were at the red light, the cross traffic light had just turned red, and our light was getting ready to turn green when I got slammed into it 55 miles an hour.
Ooh, see, I don't even know about this.
And I looked around, and I was like, what was that? And my colleague said, you just got hit. I said, no, I didn't. He's like, no, you just got hit. I said, I did not. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and sure enough, here's my trunk of my car like this in the mirror. I'm like, what? And I was just, and he was, I mean, he came up to the side of the window where my colleague was sitting, and he was like, you guys okay? You guys okay? Hi, my name's Frank. My colleague was like, he is tore up from the floor up. He could smell it. I could smell it. Luckily, on the other side of the light and the opposing traffic, there was an EMT that was, had just gotten off work.
Yeah.
So first responder. So he jumped out of his car and came over and asked if we were all okay and everything like that. But it literally, if that light had not have turned red in the cross section, I could have been, it could have been so bad, so bad. So it's like, I knew my grandfather was with me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's these certain things, and I say my grandfather, he's always with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm getting ready to tell y'all a story, okay? And this may give, I don't know if you know this story.
Well, I didn't know that one, so maybe I don't know this one.
I was, my grandfather died before I was born, and he always wanted a granddaughter. That was his number one thing, okay? Always had grandsons, always wanted a granddaughter. So then I was born, and I was about a year and a half. And my mom was making hamburger meat, you know, patting up hamburgers. Year and a half old, I go up to the counter and I go grab raw hamburger. What would you think would happen?
You ate it.
Okay. Yeah. I walked to the table, put salt and pepper on it, and ate it at a year and a half old.
Okay.
My grandfather used to have cannibal sandwiches every, I think it was Thursday or Friday night. He would come home, have raw hamburger meat with salt and pepper and onion on a bun. And that was his thing. So when I did that, when my mom saw me take that hamburger meat over to the table and put salt and pepper on it, she was like, okay, Dad, I know you're here. Because and, you know, we tell that story because it is one of those things. People lose their loved ones and family members, and You know, they're always like, I want a sign. I need to know that they're here. That was my mom's sign that he was here.
Yeah.
And just like for, I mean, there's many, and I talk to him all the time. I would have loved to have met him. I love him dearly. There's many times now that it's like, okay, especially now with mom passing, I'll see duality. There's, uh-huh. you know, two monarchs, there's two dragonflies, there's two of this, there's,
yeah.
So I know they're together and I can sense them. So at the house, we had male cardinal, female cardinal, always at the same tree.
Hi, love.
Always at the same tree, always together, always around. And it wasn't like there was a bunch of cardinals and a bunch of, you know, it was just one set and it was them.
Yeah.
Two doves, them. So in that respect, I've been able to see the signs that they're together. They're doing, you know, they're being able to live their lives in a different state, of course.
Right.
But it's a beautiful thing to have those signs and have that reassurance.
I think that everybody has a point in their lives where there's a major thing that happens that kind of jolts them into reality. Obviously, if you're alive now, then you can relate to this. Miss Olive. Miss
yes.
Olive decided she was going to come and join
yes.
us.
She wanted some love then.
Yes. She wants to wag her tail and be
just
happy.
Don't
and...
put your paws down my shirt. This isn't a peep show. This is enlightening and power.
Yes.
Yes.
Not a peep show.
Yes. I did.
But we all have these, you know, very close to death moments. And they're actually exit points in our lives.
Right.
So.
You tell me something about that. Like, we all have a certain number of them.
Yes.
Or something.
We all have a certain number of them. And I don't know what the number is. So don't ask me what that number is. But if you think back on your lives and you go, oh, my God, I should have died.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That is an exit point. And that's actually at a point where you chose to stay. Otherwise, you would have been gone. So. I remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I nearly drowned.
You're in the shirt, baby.
Yes.
In the shirt.
I nearly drowned. So that was one exit point.
Right.
I was in not a really bad car accident, but enough that, you know, I was pregnant at the time too. I was pregnant with Thomas. So I had I was in a 2001 Acura Integra, little tiny sports zippy car.
Yes.
Okay. And my baby was my very first car. It was brand new and everything. And then, of course, I got pregnant and my belly's out to the steering wheel. And it actually wasn't even an accident. I was avoiding an accident and I sped up and I came literally this close to the back of a bus. But I moved out of the way.
Right.
I mean, there's been a number of situations, and I'm trying to think of another one, but the biggest one, the most recent one, was I was walking, I had just dropped my car off to the shop and was going to work.
Right.
And so I was walking across the street. It was the first day of like a really good day in San Francisco, and the sun was out and everything was nice. And I was walking across the street and this car came from behind me. So I'm walking, we're going the same direction. He was going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Make a left-hand turn. So I'm walking across the street. The sun got in his eyes. I was thrown up under the hood of the car, bounced off the hood of the car,
mm-mm.
and even my shoe fell off. That's how hard he hit me. And I walked away with no injuries. And the only thing, I mean, they took me to the emergency room because they insisted on it because it was a car-to-person accident.
Right.
And I'm sitting there. They took me in by ambulance on the stretcher and everything, and I'm in this little area, and the doctor comes in and he looks at my chart and he looks again and he looks at my chart. And he goes, "You were hit by a car," and I'm like, "Yes." And he goes, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I remember the whole thing." And he's like, "No broken bones. You're okay to walk." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You're probably just going to be a little bit sore." He goes, "But I don't understand this because they said that you dented his hood and cracked his windshield." And I said, okay. I mean, because I remember the incident happening. I remember being thrown up against the car. I remember falling off of the car. But, of course, the ambulance, when they get there and the police get there and they're
mm-hmm.
taking all of their reports and everything, and I'm fighting with the paramedics telling them I don't need to go to the emergency room. It was this whole big thing. Anyways, that was sure an exit point. I mean, I remember step by step, but there's that moment of like almost everything pauses for a moment.
Yes. And it blacks.
It blacks out. And then I think that's the point where, you know, those of you who grew up in the 80s, and you'll remember Evie who stops time. She brings time back together and she stops time. It was a stupid TV show. Anyways, it's kind of like time just freezes for a moment. And then you're like, okay, well, do you want to leave? Do you want us to take you out now? Or do you want to continue? You want to go on? We'll meet you up at another exit point. Quick negotiation. And, you know, those of us who are still here, physically here, you know, we've chosen, okay, no, we're going to go through with this. You know, so there's just that, kind of fuzzy spot, you know. And I went to work and I was sitting at my desk and my boss comes over and says, you okay? You just came back from the emergency room. Are you okay? You want to go home? I'm like, I don't have a car. My car is being repaired. It's being fixed. I said, I'd go home, but how am I going to get there? So I worked the rest of the day, went and picked up my car and then went home.
Nice.
And they're like, don't take a hot bath because if your butt bruises or, you know, it's going to be even more painful.
Mm-hmm.
Just take some Tylenol and you'll be good. And they sent me on my way.
Very interesting.
So, yes, there's definitely, your guides are definitely around you and with you.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
You know.
I have no doubt in my mind.
And looking after you. And, of course, they're the God, humans are stupid. Let me help them. Not again. She didn't do it again, did she?
Yes. Those moments.
Yes. So, I mean, and we all know people who have, you know, come that very close to death. You know, mom had a hiatal hernia on my first day of high school. So her stomach was bleeding and she collapsed.
Wow.
And she had to be rushed to the emergency room where they opened up her belly. They took out her stomach. They sewed up her stomach. They put it back in. And she had just been bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And then she has a zipper. We call it the zipper on her stomach. And she blacked out. She doesn't even remember most of it, you know. And then that first day of high school, I went to school. My aunt picked me up. We went to the hospital. I saw her. And then we did that for about a week. And then she was home.
Safe and sound.
So, I mean, there's all of these, you know, there's all of these moments that I just everybody needs to be aware of what's going on and not to get upset.
No, I mean, if you think about it, my mom and I were talking and it's this whole thing of worry and I think we've even discussed it, but
useless emotions
and there's no sense in getting hyped up about things or, you know, it's kind of just, you got to let it go. You can't worry about other people. You can't worry about other situations. You can't worry about, you know, situations out of your control.
Right.
Because all it is just going to give you anxiety, make you more stressed out, and it just affects you. Go to a happy place, you know, visualize the beach or a waterfall or, you know, a hike or you know, shoot. You know, Grand Canyon, sitting there meditating, whatever floats your boat. If your boat is to go on a boat, then picture yourself on a boat and just get away from the worry and the stress.
I mean, if I could be actually perfectly frank and honest, I think it was probably about 15, if not 16 years ago, was the last time that I was really angry. I mean, like super angry. I mean, I get frustrated, but not angry, you know, like throwing things angry. That was the last time. And the last time that I actually really, truly cried was not that long ago. But prior to that was, God, maybe 2 years ago. I mean, our emotions are important. They're important to have, but there's no reason to get excited or worked up over things. Worry is useless completely. It doesn't change the outcome of anything.
This is true. I know. I don't think I've gotten really, really angry in probably 4 or 5 years. Maybe a little bit longer than that. I know the last time, I got really angry at an ex and I hit the corner of my, or the top corner of my windshield with my pinky knuckle, shattered it from top to bottom. So I think that was the last thing I actually hit. And once I broke that, I was like, Monica, you got to stop hitting stuff. You're going to break a lot of stuff and have to pay for it. And after I had to pay for that, so I was like, okay, learn my lesson. I won't hit anything. And his family members told him, don't piss her off anymore because next time she's going to hit you, it ain't going to be pretty.
Yeah.
I've never hit a person in anger before in my life. I don't plan on it. You know, it's just not me.
Yeah.
I'd rather hit an inanimate object. I'd rather break something than hurt someone.
Yeah.
But and that's the last time I think I was ever actually really angry.
And it's important that when we are going through these emotions to stop and ask really why. Why do I feel this way?
Right.
Because you may think that somebody pissed you off, but that's not really the case. Nobody ever really pisses anybody else off or makes them angry.
Right.
It's your inadequacy or your problem, the reason why you're angry, the
right.
reason why you're
like,
upset.
Last week I had the ego problem, and it was, I thought it was anger and a fight and this and that, but it really was just my ego coming out and that fear and that debilitating voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just me, you know, and it was like, okay, well, got to fight that back and deal with it and rise above it and just take the next steps, you know. So you do have to think about these things before you, that think before you act is the big thing, and it's a definitely underrated statement.
I was watching a video on Facebook the other day. And it was this doctor, and I don't know why I'm reminded of this at all, but it was this doctor who was talking about addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, basically, he goes, for you to understand what addiction is, you have to understand the reason why, not the addiction itself. We know chemically in the body what happens, but why is the person doing this?
Right.
You know, why is the person becoming addicted? And I think that even in an anger standpoint, why is this person angry? You know,
right. What's triggering them?
What is it that's coming up? I mean, you may have done or did something that, you know, just struck the chord with me.
Right.
But I'm not angry at you, even though I'm screaming and shouting and yelling and da 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 da. And so when you're being yelled at, Even with a child, they're not mad at you. A child can't really express why they're angry. Most of the time, an adult should be able to, but they're never going to admit that it's their own weakness.
Yes.
You know, so to see the pain in another person's eyes of one who's hurting you is a big thing. And of course, you know, somebody starts yelling at us, we want to defend ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that we want to do. So we go, okay, boop, I'm going to put myself in this box and I'm going to start punching. You know, just throwing out these punches, and whether they're word punches or whether they're physical punches. But if we stop,
mm-hmm.
and we don't engage, we automatically stop the argument. Because, and I've said this time and time and time again, I'm the worst person you can argue with. I'm not fun. I'm
right,
like,
you stop.
Okay.
You
all right.
Let it go.
Well, that's how you feel. Okay. I'm no fun to argue with because I won't argue back with you.
Right.
And so when you stop the fight by not engaging, not feeling bad, not feeling angry, not feeling hurt, not feeling sad, just going, okay.
Right.
You know, the other person has nothing to bounce off of. So eventually they give up. You know, they try to provoke. Oh, well, you're the one who didn't take out the laundry or what, didn't take out the garbage or whatever. Or I'm not the one who da 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 or leaves my clothes on the floor. Whatever that argument is, if you're not answering and responding back, they have nothing to go against.
Right.
So that diffuses the argument, and that kind of gets you to sit and think. Yeah, gets you to sit and think, okay, well, this is not my problem. This is your problem. You're the one who has the problem, not me.
Right.
So why am I fighting your battle for you? So.
Ego.
Ego. Back to everything relates back to ego. And
it does. I mean, ego wears many faces.
If it's not love, it's ego. Oh, I like that.
You should write that down.
If it's not love, it's
You need that all.
Ego. Yes. I love that. If it's not love, it's ego.
Anna Torres copywriting.
Yes.
Yes, it'll be on bumper stickers coming soon.
Yes. My copyright, my words.
Yes.
My t-shirts, my hats.
I just need to create that, one of those little faces or something to go with it. Little picture image.
Yeah. Emoji?
Yeah, something like that.
You want an emoji if it's not love, it's ego?
Yeah. It's like a Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Tip of the eyebrow type of thing.
There you go.
Something weird.
All right, guys. So we are at the hour mark here.
An hour is flying by the seat of your pantyhose.
I know.
I know. And tomorrow we will, tomorrow. Hello.
Next week
we do have some plans and stuff to talk about.
We do.
Prior to the holiday.
Which is the 21st, right?
Yes.
Writing it down now.
11/21/17.
Wow. What is that number?
I don't know. Make sure you put 2017.
Yes. 1, 2, 7. That's 9. 1, 3, 5, 6. 6 plus 6, 9. Woo! 69. It's a 69 day.
Mm-hmm.
That's 15, and 1 and 5 is 6.
Yeah.
Do calculators. That's a 6 day. Huh. Maybe we'll play some with numerology there.
There you go. We can do that.
See? I came up with something all by myself. See?
Yep. All you have to do is just put it on play. That's all.
Exactly. All right. For those of you who are on Blog Talk, we are going to wrap up the show with our song. So
we can't listen to. That's advice.
Yeah, that we can't listen to. So I'm going to go ahead and hit play for you guys over there. And
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. I won't just conform, no matter how you shake my core.
Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night.